This podcast brought to you by Hope 1032.
On Hope 1032, joining us, comedian and star of the new movie Selfie Dad, Michael Jr. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. Super excited to be here. This is going to be fun.
It is. And the movie Selfie Dad is a fun one. And for many in Australia, it also introduces your comedy to us, which is quite striking in its own way. How did your career in comedy get started?
It actually started at a movie theater in my hometown here in the States, where I was 17 years old. A friend dared me. We were watching a movie, me and some friends, and in the middle of the movie, it goes blank. Like, The movie just stops playing, and a friend, a German exchange student, kneels me. He kind of elbows me and says, "I dare you go tell a joke." And I'm like 17, so if you dare me to do something, I'm just going to, like, do it. So I just went up there and told this joke, and these disgruntled movie girls all laugh, and I felt like this high for the first time ever in my life. And it was just, it was amazing. And in retrospect, I look back at it, and it was actually a glimpse at what it is I'm called to do, because not only do I now get to make people laugh, but after I was done telling a joke, all of the moviegoers ran down. I mean, security came running in the room looking for me to kick me out. And all the moviegoers, they actually stood up and said, "If you kick them out, I want my money back." So it was crazy, because not only did everyone laugh, but they also stood up and came together for something bigger than just themselves, which is exactly what I get to do on all my platforms right now, is use comedy to help people.
It's such an incredible moment, and one that seems, you know, so, I suppose, like, random in retrospect, but then also probably prompted you to obviously do what you're doing now. Does the story in Selfie Dad reflect much of your own journey, that of somebody who has had this taste of a life and then sets it aside for a time and then has that feeling of wanting to step back into it?
Well, one thing that was very similar to me and the role that I played was it was a black man who was really handsome. So I connected with that a lot. There are some similarities in that once he has that revelation about what he can get from simply reading God's word, like how that changed his life, is the same way it changed my life. Significantly so, like very much so. Like, that was not necessary. I didn't really have to do any acting when it came to that part at all. In fact, when people watch the movie, the scene where I'm doing a YouTube video and I have on a black shirt, and there's a little beat while I'm talking and doing my monologue to the camera, I take a breath. And in that moment, I go from the character to Michael Jr., the actual person, because I'm actually talking about what really happened to me. But you won't even notice it. You'll miss it if you don't pay attention. So, and there's a really cool Easter egg. I don't know if you saw the movie yet or not, but there's an amazing Easter egg that we hid toward the end of the movie when I'm in the hallway talking to the girl who plays my daughter. You got to pay close attention, but there's a light, nice little nugget in there. It's pretty cool.
It's a sneaky kind of moment that really does give us a glimpse into more of your heart. And as you've mentioned, your goal with your comedy is to bring voice to things in a fun way that helps people gather around stuff that then inspires them to love others better and I guess make a mark in the world. Why is that part of your goal in comedy? Yes. Because not all comedians have that same kind of intention.
Comedy, for me, I love doing comedy. I've been on all the late night television shows. I've done TED Talks. But comedy for me is the vehicle. It is not the destination. Comedy opens up people's heart and makes them laugh and feel good for the moment. But I want to also make a deposit that can make a lasting change. So that is why when I'm on stage, I will randomly mention something that I think will encourage people. And that's exactly. So I just wrote a book that comes out. It's available even in Australia, wherever books are sold, and on Amazon. The book is called Funny How Life Works. But here's what I did was, I tell a story about, well, just as an example, I did a show one time. I'll give you the snip bit of this. And in my show was a fugitive of the law. This guy was running from the police and he came to a comedy show to escape all the pressure. At the end of the show, he asked if he could speak to me. I spoke with him for a little while. He has tears in his eyes. By the end of our conversation, he asked if I would call the police so he can turn himself in.
Wow.
At a comedy show. How does this happen at a comedy show? Well, it's because I just want to make people laugh. I want to move people to a better place than they were before they showed up. And that's what we're doing in the movie. Selfie Dad. That's what we're doing in my book, Funny How Life Works, and on the podcast, Funny How Life Works. I really think we all have a gift, but a true gift isn't a gift until you're willing to give it away. And it's not measured by how many people like it. It's measured by how people need it.
It's a real way of bringing wisdom into your sets, I think. And in the story of Selfie Dad, one of the themes that your character Ben has to deal with is this conversation about self-obsession and a drive to gain followers, fans, but the personal price that Ben has to pay to be able to do that. For anyone who has a role that involves a level of public profile, I think that tension probably exists. How do you deal with that in your own life, that fight between what you're trying to do with such meaning, but then also that fan stage side of the equation as well?
One thing I do is I always try to make sure I'm looking at people like they're people. I don't know if you've ever been on like a roller coaster before, but the person who's working a roller coaster to make sure you got your seatbelt on and everything, if you notice how they talk, they're always talking like, okay, so buckle your seatbelt, put your hands in the car at all times, don't be over 6 feet, enjoy your ride. like after a while, after them saying that so much, us in the car who were enjoying that roller coaster ride, we're not even people to them anymore. It's just part of routine. So what I try to do as much as I can is I try to take a breath and recognize whether I'm talking to a fan, or whether I'm talking to just anyone at all, or they talking to me, that's a person. I know it sounds simple, but if you just breathe for a second and be like, okay, this is a person. In fact, this helps a lot, especially when it's an adult. Say to yourself, this person used to be 3 years old. Immediately, it makes you recognize that they're a person and they need help, like a three-year-old would need help. Or maybe they can bring you some joy. They may have something for you. So if you listen close enough, both of you guys could receive something. So that's one of the big moves that I make pretty often.
Yeah, and it brings, I suppose, authenticity to the exchanges that you have with people. And I reckon that those that you're talking to would notice that difference as well. And you've mentioned your faith in this conversation. And we also see in Selfie Dad, Ben does have this faith journey that grows. How would you describe your relationship to faith in your own life?
I think it's a pretty big point. I mean, a pretty big deal as far as what I do and how I get down. I don't walk around with a Bible necessarily in my hand and a white collar, because that's just weird for me. That'd be weird. He's a comedian with a white collar on. So, but I really believe anything that you let into your heart, if you're reading it, if you let it into your heart, it will be revealed in your walk. So no matter what it is. So I just choose to be more strategic about what I let into my heart. So instead of just listening to any sorts of, like, there's a lot of music out there that, like, if you listen to the lyrics, you're like, wow, do I really want to jump on a grenade for this woman? Like Bruno Mars. I'm like, is that really what I want to do? Like, so I'm very careful about what I put in my heart because I want to make sure my walk is good. Now, I'm not perfect at that by any means, but I'm telling you, when I do these things, read the Bible or even listen to some really strong podcasts that are very encouraging, because I've associated myself with that, the next person I talk to, they get my version of that thing. They get that with my seasoning on it. So that's what I want to give to the people around me. So I just make sure I put the right stuff in me.
Yeah, you're choosing your fuel.
Ooh, well said. I like that. Choosing your fuel. So, and I want premium. I want premium versus the other stuff.
You can take that. But one of the true tests of comedy, I think, is how your own family respond. What do your kids and your wife and kids react to when you're making a joke? Do they respond okay?
So it's kind of mixed. So my son, there's a video, a couple of videos online for my son when I got five kids. And so when my son was from the time he was 4 years old all the way up to a teenager, if the camera pans to my son and I'm on national TV, if it pans to my son, he's asleep. Like every single, like, dude, you sleep? Like, you're a grown man now, you're still sleeping. But the rest of my kids, for some reason, my son is just like, okay, Dad. I think it's, you know what it is? I think it's my voice. I think when he hears my voice at that level, really, I think it kind of soothes him, because with all my kids, I used to speak to them even when they were in their mom's womb. In fact, there's a video. If any of your listeners want to Google this video, put in Mike Jr. delivery room. And there's a video of when my last daughter was born. She was 2.5 minutes old, and the nurse, she's 2.5 minutes old, and the nurse is about to clean her up, and she starts to cry. And I speak up, and she stops crying. It was amazing. Wow. Like, you can see the video. It's on YouTube. Just put in Michael Jr. Delivery room. And the other thing that happens is I stop talking. 7 minutes or so later, she starts crying again. So I speak up. I'm like, is this really me? So I speak up and she stopped crying again. But then I said to her, what I always said to her, even when she was in her mom's stomach, I said, I love you. And when I said I love you to her, for the first time ever, she opened her eyes.
Aww.
It is completely amazing.
Wow.
Like, you cannot watch that video and not get emotional. It is so cool.
Already gives me goosebumps just hearing about it. So that's going to be the first thing I Google as we wrap up, Michael Jr. Yeah. It has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. I encourage everyone to go and watch Selfie Dad. And, of course, check out your book. What was that title again? Funny How Life Works?
Oh, it's called Funny How Life Works. You can get it on Amazon. Thank you so much. You're a great interview viewer, like, for real, you got skills.
Oh, that's my pleasure. Thank you so much. You enjoy the rest of your evening.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.